I've been reflecting a lot on this homily for this Sunday for Holy Family, and I imagine that no matter how good of a person that we are, all of us at one point or at some point in our lives, we all face challenges, tragedies, and times when things don't go our way. And I always find it interesting that when tragedies or calamities happen, many people immediately think that they must be doing something wrong, that God must be punishing them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have this tragedy. What they don't realize and what they don't understand is God will never allow anything unless he has a divine purpose for it. What I've learned in this spiritual journey is that God doesn't necessarily send problems our way. He doesn't send tragedies, but he allows us to go through them in order to strengthen us, to test us, so that we can become the holy individual and holy family that God created us to be. And I think this Sunday, the Holy Family Sunday, it gives us the opportunity to ask this question. What is it that precisely makes a person holy and makes a family holy? Because I can give you a lot of practical advice as to how to make your family more psychologically well-adjusted, how to be more functional, and how to even be happier in your life. In fact, the reading that I want to point to that wasn't necessarily read is a reading from the book of Sirach, and it says this: he who obeys his father gives comfort to his mother. Be kind to your father even in his old age, and when he loses his mind, be considerate of him. That's very good advice. And actually, this is also followed up in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians that we heard today. It says, put on compassion and bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Now, there's nothing wrong with this advice. And like I said, these are all practical advice. But when you think about it, a person of faith and a person of no faith could subscribe to this advice. In other words, you don't have to believe in God to take care of your father. I know people that don't believe in God, they take care of their father. I know people that don't believe in God, and they forgive other people. So it raises the question, what exactly is it that makes a person holy, and what is it that makes a family holy? In order for us to understand this, we have to dig a little deeper and go into the biblical stories. The first character that I will demonstrate to you that will distinctively show that these people are holy is Saint Joseph, the foster father of Jesus and the husband of Mary, the mother of God. So we just celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ, right? And the Magi visited him and they departed. And an angel appeared to Joseph, and the angel tells him, you have to get up, take your child, and flee from here and go to a foreign country. I think when we hear this, we take it for granted because we hear it every year. But what we have to understand is this is a very hard thing for a first century Jew. First of all, let's remember, Joseph had already endured the shame of finding out that Mary was pregnant and he wasn't the father. And you could imagine that this undoubtedly caused a lot of gossip among the people. Psh, 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 oh, why is she pregnant? This is such a shame. Why is Joseph taking her as his wife? How can this happen? And besides that, when they had to travel for Jesus to be born, Joseph could not even find a place for his own son, right? And so now the angel is asking him something that can only be seen as ridiculous. I mean, he was told a king is after your baby. I mean, really? Why would a king be after my child? And besides this, he's being asked not to go to Cancun to go on vacation. He's being asked not to go on a cruise. He's being asked to go to a foreign country. Now let me take you back to the first century. When you had to travel to a foreign country, there was a lot of danger, right? At every turn you can get robbed and you can get murdered. There was short supply when it came to water and food. And besides that, you're going to ask me to travel with my wife who just gave birth to a tiny baby? So from a purely psychological standpoint, this was almost abusive and crazy. So during that time, in the time of Joseph, any commonsensical person would have thought Joseph was crazy to even think to do this for his family. And yet Joseph went. And after several years, the angel appeared to Joseph and told him again, now you have to uproot your family, go back to the country from which you fled, right? And so you could imagine for Joseph, this was just absolutely outrageous. Like I said, it's almost abusive from a purely psychological standpoint to do this to his family. So what's the point? The point is what Joseph did consistently was always to obey God's word, right? So he took his love for his wife Mary, and he took his love for his child Jesus, and he placed it within a wider context of love for his heavenly Father, for God the Father. So Joseph basically subordinated his compassion for his wife, and undoubtedly he has a lot of compassion for her and his baby child, but he subordinated it to the will and purpose of God. Even when he didn't understand, even when the outside world thought that he was crazy, for Joseph it was a non-negotiable. He understood that he had to obey God's will in everything that he did. And folks, this is what made Joseph holy, his radical obedience to the will of God. And so we'd look at another character that was read by Mary from the book of Genesis, Abraham. Abraham was very old. He was in his 80s, and he didn't have a child yet. And so God promised him, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars, right? So finally, to fast forward, he and Sarah finally had a child named Isaac. Now, when you fast forward to this story, God then tells Abraham, I want you to take Isaac and sacrifice him. Huh? Wait, this was the child that was going to be numerous and was going to be multitude of descendants, and now I have to sacrifice him? Even from a purely psychological standpoint, it's like really psychologically weird. But then Abraham, just like Joseph, had this radical obedience to God's will. This was placed before him, and he passed the test. And that's what made Abraham a righteous and holy person, because of their obedience to God's will. And so we fast forward to the gospel story. It should be no surprise that the church would use the story that we heard during this Holy Family Sunday. They, Mary and Joseph, took their child Jesus to the temple. Now it was a custom for every firstborn male child to be taken to the temple. But for a first century Jew, when you went to the temple, first of all, the temple was the house of God. Second, the temple was a place where animals were sacrificed unto God. So in a way, Mary and Joseph were actually preparing for what was to happen to their own son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, many years later, would go back to the temple and offer himself as a sacrifice unto God. And so once again, Mary and Joseph situated their love for Jesus and placed it within the wider context of their love for God. And what made them a holy family was their radical obedience to God's will. Now, how many people do you know in your life that would say, if you asked them to do something that might be questionable or a question of compromise, would say, I'm not sure if that's God's will? A first example that comes to mind is there's so many people out there that if they have families visiting and they know they have to worship on Sunday, they'll put that aside and they'll put their family first. But in order to be a holy person in order to be a holy family, this feast reminds us that we have to put our love within the context of God's love. And so when you look at the story of Jesus, which is found in the Gospel of Luke, when he was about 12 years old, it was customary for every Jewish family to go to the temple for the Passover. Now, everyone here, I think, is familiar with the story. Jesus, baby, the young boy, Jesus, gets lost. At first, Mary and Joseph thought that he was just probably wandering with his relatives. And they realized they lost Jesus, the Son of God. And so they were scrambling and they were frantic. And finally, when Mary found Jesus, she told him, "We have been looking for you everywhere. You have caused us so much anguish." And almost in a devastating way, 12-year-old Jesus looked at his mother and said, "Why were you looking for me everywhere? Did you not know I would be in my Father's business?" Once again, Father's business was more important, was more demanding than any family ties. You see, we tend to romanticize families and we emphasize the emotional ties. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the Bible is not against that. But when the Bible talks about family, it doesn't talk about family ties. It talks about God's family. Remember when Jesus was preaching and someone told him, "Your brother and your mother is here." And Jesus, without a doubt, said, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother? But the one who does the will of my Father." Here's the point. If you want your children to be everything God created them to be, if you want your family to be stronger, paradoxically, your family will only become stronger when each member subordinates their love to the love of God. See, where I think many parents fail is when they challenge their kids, they tell them, "You have to obey me, you have to do what I say." And when a kid grows up, they look at their dad or mom, they're like, "You're only human." But no father or mother says, "You have to first do God's will." See, the more you do that, the more you allow God to enter into your family, then your children will start to realize, well, if I'm doing God's will, naturally God will want me to obey you. But the point is, God comes first. What made all these members or these characters holy is their radical obedience to God. Being holy doesn't mean you're perfect. This being holy does not exempt you from tragedies and calamities and questionable experiences. Being holy means cooperate with God and have a good attitude. God will give you plenty of opportunities and God will give you plenty of tests. The goal is to pass them. Many people get frustrated and they get angry. Don't let that person be you. God, during this holy feast, is looking for men and women and young children to rise up and join him in this resolution to be a holy person, to be a holy family set apart, knowing that the most important thing that we can ever do in our lives is to do God's will. I was in a Latino parish a few years ago, and I love this expression that the Latinos say. If you ask him to do something, they will say, "Si Dios quiere." It means, if that's God's will, then I will do it. And there's actually a lot of wisdom to that. What I want you to get out of this Mass is look into your life. And I know every family here wants their family to be stronger. Your family will only be stronger in the measure that, once again, each member, the mother, the father, the children, will subordinate their love to the will and purpose of God. That's the meaning of our celebration, and that's what makes a holy individual and a holy family. Amen?